It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A glimmer of good data may not be enough to calm the stormy markets. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. The major U.S. indices are all down on the heels of a tumultuous day of trading yesterday. Investors are worried about growth, they're worried about geopolitics and interest rates. There is, however, some new data they're starting to process. Diane Swonk joins us now to talk about it. She's the chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So the Fed has released some new data on industrial production. That happened just a couple of minutes ago. And this is a measure of what's been produced by factories and mines and utilities. I have to expect that the markets are going to be happy with what they've seen here.
Well, we only can hope so. Certainly good surge in industrial production, much more than markets expected, even with the slight downward revision to the month of August. We're on net much higher than they expected, with gains fairly broad-based across a lot of categories, which is important because it suggests that the manufacturing sector is still doing well. And that's been an important mover for the U.S. economy of late, one that everyone's watching very closely.
So help me reconcile all this, Diane. You've got data that indicate that things are going well, the recovery is going apace, and yet on the other hand, you have all this volatility and plenty of people saying, look, that's an indication that the recovery is not going well.
Yeah, I think the volatility in part is because we're concerned about what will happen going forward. Will the manufacturing sector be able to stay as strong as it's been in the face of a stronger dollar? There's a generalized fear out there. The fear is much greater than the reality at the moment, but the fear is that all the things that are affecting abroad could infect us in the U.S.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. Diane, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Some more new data this morning. Applications for unemployment benefits fell to a 14-year low last week. There are, however, many Americans who have been out of work for months, and they face an uphill battle getting hired. That's why 300 companies signed a White House pledge to remove some of the barriers faced by the long-term unemployed in this country. One company's approach is to forget resumes and turn to videos. Marketplace's Kate Davidson reports.
Frontier Communications sells things like high-speed internet and phone service. HR boss Jim Otto says in hiring, the company was looking for a way to measure soft skills that don't show up on paper.
Like the ability to delight the customer. How do you read that on a resume?
So this year, Frontier has been moving from a resume-first hiring model to a video-first model. Applicants answer a few questions on videos they can submit from their smartphones.
So the very first evaluation that we would have of someone is how they communicated. And then we would look at their resume.
Otto says Frontier has hired more unemployed people this year, half of them long-term unemployed. The White House is touting this strategy and others. Mitchell Hirsch with the National Employment Law Project says jobless applicants are sometimes rejected by automatic filters.
And so they're being unfairly screened out, often without the direct knowledge of the hiring managers themselves.
A new guide to hiring the long-term unemployed recommends removing those filters. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Mexico has been trying to attract foreign investment to help boost its economy, but violence in that country is a big obstacle. Last month, 43 students went missing after they clashed with police in southern Mexico. Here to talk about this is Leon Krause, an anchor with Univision in Los Angeles. Leon, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, David. My pleasure as always.
Violence has been a part of everyday life for many Mexicans for a while now, and I can only imagine that's had an effect, a sustained effect, on the economy there.
Yes, it has been part of everyday life for Mexicans for the better part of 6 years now. The strategy that current President Peña Nieto has been pursuing has been a curious one. From the beginning of his presidency, he made a decision to basically change the narrative in Mexico by pushing narco violence under the rug and focusing instead on economic reform. Problem is violence in the state of Guerrero, particularly recently, has taken over the government's preferred narrative, and that's been a real problem.
You mentioned that the Mexican government would prefer that we not focus on this, that we focus on the economy. And Mexico's finance minister was up in Washington last week for meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And he's weighed in on this. He's talked about this violence.
Yes. I mean, Luis Videgaray, Mexico's finance minister and Peña Nieto's right-hand man, has admitted he's worried. The future of the country and, of course, Peña Nieto's own future depends on investors not losing faith in the famous Mexican moment. After all, Mexico's economy grew by 1.1% in 2013, and Peña Nieto has promised that the number will improve with his famous set of reforms, which have been very ambitious.
How problematic is this perception that Mexico is a violent place, both to tourism, to business investment? How big a problem is that?
Well, perception, sometimes perception is reality nowadays. And this is a problem for the Peña Nieto administration, because first you have the social consequences of the violence itself. Mexico, I should point out very clearly, is far from a failed country, failed state as a whole. But there are definitely failed municipalities, towns that are not under the government's control. That is a fact. And it remains to be seen how the markets react. It has to do with the speed with which the government reacts and how the violence behaves. It's unfortunate, but the reality is one stubborn mule.
Leon Krause is an anchor for Univision in Los Angeles. Thank you very much for your time, Leon.
My pleasure, as always.
We expect results today from the latest presidential election in Bolivia. So far, the incumbent, Evo Morales, has just over 60% of the vote. And that is especially bad news for one of his opponents, who said on the campaign trail that if 6 out of 10 Bolivians voted to re-elect Morales, he would eat his watch. There's a big push on Twitter for that to happen. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.